Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Good morning, all. And a happy belated Thanksgiving and an official start to the holiday season, complete with atmospheric snow. Isn't that wonderful? They did it just. Thank you very much, Lord. It was wonderful. Today's scripture lesson is from Matthew 15, verses 10 through 28. But let us prepare our hearts first. God of great faithfulness, sometimes your word is clear, and sometimes your word is confusing. As these scriptures are read, meet us in this moment and remind us how you would call us to live in this beautiful yet broken world. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, no, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Oh, then the disciples approached him and said, do you know that the Pharisees, they took offense of what when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands, that does not defile." Jesus then left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, Oh, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, Lord, please help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever.
Friends, it is a great joy and honor to worship with you today. I am so grateful for this invitation to preach and for all of the hospitality your pastoral staff have extended me this morning. Mostly, I am just grateful to be back in this special and holy place. This is the place where I spent years in the children and youth programs, where I served on session as a ruling elder. And this is the place where I met the people who would support me in my call to ministry, who would nurture that call in me. And this is the place where, had the COVID-19 pandemic not happened, I would have been ordained in this sanctuary in March of 2020. But things changed and I had to adapt, as we all did. But this church, it's a special place. It is a place filled with incredible people. So believe me when I say I am grateful to be here with you today. But now, let us turn our hearts and minds back to the ways God is present with us, because we're going to need it. Because today's gospel reading, it's one of the more complicated stories about Jesus. A lot happens in the 18 verses we just read. Some of it is a little confusing. A lot of it needs unpacking. But the story sort of spirals out of control, and we end up in a situation where Jesus meets a woman who is not of the same ethnic group as he, and she approaches him in hopes that he will heal her daughter. And it's complicated and confusing because Jesus doesn't act like we hope he would. At first, he ignores her completely, but she is persistent, unwilling to leave without her miracle. So finally, Jesus can't ignore her any longer. But his response is a little lacking. He doesn't offer much compassion. And instead, he explains to her that he's here to minister to the house of Israel, that is, the people of his own community. Put bluntly, Jesus tells her no. The children he cares for are his own people, and she, the woman and her sick daughter, well, they are no more than dogs. Now, we don't know the true intent behind Jesus' words, but from where I'm standing, it appears that Jesus doesn't see the need to reach out past his own circle and help someone. And then to add insult to injury, he compares her to an animal begging for scraps. This is not the Jesus I know and love. This is not the Jesus who eats dinner with outcasts and offers healing without reservation. This is not the Jesus who upsets the social hierarchy in order to do what is right. This certainly does not sound like the Jesus who challenges people to consider who their neighbors are and what it means to love all of God's children. No, this Jesus is flawed. Perhaps a little selfish, maybe even prejudiced, and he wants to keep the miracles of God inside his own community. So how did we end up here? The answer may surprise you, because what kicks off this story before it all spirals out of control has nothing to do with healing or Canaanite women. We actually start with a discussion about whether or not you should wash your hands before you eat. We didn't read them, but in the verses just before our story starts, the Pharisees, they are the religious leaders and Jesus's contemporaries, well, they are frustrated that Jesus's disciples do not wash their hands before they sit down to dinner. Now, for them, it's not just a question of personal hygiene informed by an understanding of germ theory. Being clean or unclean is a matter of tradition. It's about following the practices and rituals of a community. So in some ways, it is a sign of belonging to a certain group. So the Pharisees see the disciples not following this specific tradition, and they say, "These people, well, they are not clean. They are not following our traditions. They are not acting like they are a part of us." But Jesus doesn't see it that way. And he reminds the Pharisees that practices and ritual are important, but only when they are coupled with good intention, compassion, and care for one another. It's not that not washing your hands before you eat will defile you. It's that if you use your hands for violence or hurt or betrayal, you are defiled and not acting in a way that follows the greater tradition God sets before us. So it's a bit of a shock then that after his beautiful words about acting with good intention and compassion, Jesus doesn't follow through on them. He repeats the mistakes of the Pharisees, seeing things in stark terms, only this time it's not clean versus unclean, but Israelite versus Canaanite, child versus dog. Either way, it's in versus out. It seems that when the Pharisees drew the circle of who is in and who is out, the Jesus of this story widened the circle a little bit, but not enough to include this woman and her child. Friends, there are circles all over this story. The Pharisees had their circles, and the disciples have their circles, and as much as I wish it weren't true, so did Jesus. And of course, so do we. Whether we draw them intentionally or not, whether we are aware of them or not, we all have circles of who we think is in and who is out, of who is like us and who is not. The Reverend Nadia Bowles Weber grew up in a very fundamentalist community that had its own circles drawn, and they told her what those circles were. As a child, Nadia was taught that her community was definitely inside the circle and therefore loved by God, and, well, everyone else in the world just wasn't. It didn't sit right with Nadia, and she left that way of religion. She left that circle and eventually found a home in the Lutheran Church, where she's made a name for herself preaching a message of good news for all people, especially people who have been traditionally excluded. She believes wholeheartedly that God's grace is freely given to all people without reservation, but she also admits that old habits die hard. And so though Nadia has found a community that fits her more open and inclusive theology, she also knows that from time to time, especially when she is frustrated with other people, she still sees the world in terms of tightly drawn circles, where one circle is good and another is bad. And sometimes she even has a tendency to believe that God uses the same sorting system she does, where the good people are good and deserving and the bad people are bad. And isn't it always convenient that the good people end up being the ones we like? But just as a friend tells Nadia, the truth is that every time we draw a line between us and others, Jesus is always on the other side. So when this Jesus of our story, who feels very comfortable being inside one circle and not in another, when he denies this woman a healing, it's up to her to remind him that even if he doesn't realize it, they're actually on the same side. Because this woman, well, she has a lot of faith. She trusts in the promises of God. She believes that Jesus can and will and should heal her daughter, even if Jesus himself does not believe. So she doesn't let him keep her at arm's length. She says, "I have heard what you said, but you should heal my child anyways. We deserve to belong here." And suddenly, that tightly bound circle that keeps the Pharisees and the disciples and Jesus inside and the woman and her daughter on the outside, well, that circle is broken open into an unending spiral of grace. So just as the story started out with a question about hand washing and it spirals more and more out of control, God's grace spirals out with it, including more and more people within the reach of God's love. And despite the circles we live in, despite the ways we try to keep neat and orderly boundaries, God doesn't fit into any one circle. Instead, God turns our confined and closed-off circles into expansive and unending spirals that lead us closer and closer to Christ. And it is often the people outside the circles, those most marginalized and disrespected, who can see most clearly what all of God's grace and power can do. This woman, she does not have a lot of power in this story. She is never called by her name. She is known only by the things that mean she is considered less than someone like Jesus. But still, she demands that Jesus open up the circle to include her daughter, and it is a testament to the type of Savior we follow that he listens to a woman of a different ethnic group. He corrects his mistake, and he stands by her side. Friends, the world is full of circles, and it is unfortunate that the church is too. All too often, people are made to feel like they are not a part of God's spiraling love, but instead told they fall outside a tightly guarded circle of belonging. Whether it is because of the way they look or think, how they act or who they love, if it is a matter of birthplace or bank account or social standing, too many are told by churches, "You do not belong here, and therefore you do not belong to God." And I wonder, perhaps even some of us have maybe heard that message. And maybe we have also been the ones who pushed others outside the circle. Maybe we didn't mean to. But sometimes there are moments when we find ourselves as the ones drawing the lines. Because for as much as unpacking of this story as we need, the dynamics and the emotions, they feel really familiar. We live in a different time, in a different place, but are we not just as committed to our human boundaries and divisions? Sometimes, like Jesus, we can easily let insults fall from our mouths, words meant to wound and keep others at a distance. And it feels like, more often than not, we will do anything to hoard things like mercy and justice and grace to our own closed-off communities. Friends, the world is full of circles. So what a gift it is that we have this complicated story where someone breaks open that circle and lets love spiral out. This Canaanite woman who, despite being called dog rather than child, despite being told she does not belong, this woman refuses to believe in anything less than the transformative power of Christ that is for anyone and everyone, no exceptions. She believes in it so much that she is willing to cross the boundaries of ethnicity and culture and gender and religion to confront Jesus and remind him of the good news he embodies. That God's love and justice and power cannot be bound by human limitations. When no one else can see it, this woman knows that the circles we draw to keep people out are just lines in the sand, easily erased and redrawn. Lines that can be broken open and reformed to look more like that unending and expansive spiral that reaches out to each and every one of us and draws us back into the center of God's love. Thanks be to God for that woman. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.